You know, Carl, you know, I've known Carl for a long time when he's been here at the church. And I will move this thing down, because that's a little bit too loud. You know, I've known Carl for a long time and kind of really enjoyed, you know, working with him. This church, Elk Plain Community Church, has sent out more missionaries than any other church I've ever been in before that I can think of. With Carl, with Dave and Serena, and the Tates, and who else can we think of? Yeah, I mean, just it's a continual basis. It's continually, yeah. And then us, you know, now doing the Racers for Christ thing. It's been a continual. This church, I don't know what it is about this particular church. You can turn that down some. I'm going to keep moving this. Oh, but it echoes so bad up here. But, you know, this church just keeps churning out more and more, you know, ministers and more missionaries to go out, you know, and that's what we're called to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So I'm going to do that sermon that I told you I wasn't going to do. I was going to do something different, and she thought she was just going to go crazy here. But, you know, we've turned out a lot of people in this church, and it's been awesome to see that. And I thank God for bringing us to this church, for giving, you know, I'm sure Carl could say the same thing, giving us the courage to be able to do it, to think that, yeah, you know, we can do this. That you, it's not just the other guy who's gifted, but God gifts you to do it. One of the things I wanted to point out was that I put a little table back there in the back corner, and you know we hand out at all our chapel services an RFC team update. They're laid out up there, and basically it just has what's going on, you know, in our lives through the racing community. We'll have those things back there. Feel free to help yourself. We have some Bibles back there. I also have what I really want to get into somebody's hands is this right here. This talks about Racers for Christ. This talks about what we're all about, what we do. My job as the regional director with Racers for Christ is that I'm looking for more chaplains constantly. Now, a chaplain, what can you do? Well, what does that mean? What have I got to do? Basically, what we do is we go to the racetracks, we hang out with the guys, we have a chapel service on Sundays when we can, and we are able to spread God's word, you know, to everybody. And you think, you know, when we first started this, a lot of people say, well, yeah, those racers really need God. Well, you know what? There's a lot of Christians out there. It's not that we're out there making conversions. We're out there to be with these people that are Christians that want to go to church on Sunday, but they like to go to the races too. So we want to make sure that they can have their church. And that's what we do. We give them church on Sundays. We're also there in case something happens at the track. We've been too many times when something's happened, you know, but we're there for them at that time. As a matter of fact, just this year, Linda, stand up, please. Linda became a chaplain this year, and she is now a chaplain. She's been serving with me. We've been doing this for 13 years, and just this year, you know, we've seen the need for her to actually get the title of chaplain. She goes, it's just a title. She goes, yeah, but what it does, it opens doors when we have to go to the hospital, you know, with a racer. We have a lot of female racers, and I would feel much more comfortable if my wife would go to the hospital with a female racer rather than myself. And that just makes it that much easier and that much more accessible for her to be able to do that. And now that, you know, like I said, after 13 years of us doing this, she knows so many of these people now. We've become friends with a lot of people. They're part of our family. And that's what it's about, is we are looking for people who want to become a part of the family of racers that are out there. And we're looking for volunteers to do this. You know, everybody's, you know, all of our chaplains, 97% of us are volunteers. As of January this year, I'm no longer a volunteer, I'm an actual missionary. So now we're also out there trying to gain funds to be able to do this on a full-time basis. But we're looking for a lot of missionaries who want to be able to go to the local tracks, you know, something close to home, and be able to help out. We're going to Montana this next week. We follow the NHRA. And so there's two races in Montana. We're driving off to Montana this week. We'll be gone for 3 weeks just into Montana. But I got a phone call from one of the other race organizers in Montana that's going to have a race in August. It's going to be a big, big drag race. I don't have a chaplain to cover it. You know how hard that is to tell somebody, I'm sorry, we can't cover your event? I told him, let me see what I can find for you. But I'll be back here at another event, so I won't be able to do it. We're looking for somebody in Montana. While we're in Montana, those 3 weeks, that's what I'll be doing, is I'll be trying to find another chaplain. Pacific Raceways here in Kent. You know the big racetrack in our local area that does the NHRA national event? We don't have a chaplain for that track. One of our biggest racetracks. We don't have a chaplain for that track. The chaplain is now traveling. So I kind of leave them without somebody. If we had somebody to go there. We ask that a chaplain serve 3 times during a calendar year. 3 times to maintain an active status. One of those is going to be a training session that we do every February. So you really only need to go to 2 events. But if you're interested, if you have somebody that you think might be interested, have them take one of these, or take one of these with you. There's a business card back there. Take a business card, you know, get in touch with me, and we can give you more information on it. Let me tell you, it has been very gratifying. It's been heartbreaking. It's been rewarding. It's been tiring, but it's been a blast. We just started last year. We've gone to a number of sprint car races to help out one of our other chaplains during our free weekends, when we have free weekends. But, yeah, that's this weekend. This is a free weekend, by the way. So we've been to a number of sprint car races, and that is dirty. Really dirty. It's a dirt race, of course. These guys throw dirt like you wouldn't believe. And when we're sitting up front there, we have a golf cart that we ride around in. So we figure, hey, we got this big windshield up here. We're protected. And we sit there on this little berm watching the cars go by. And all of a sudden, everybody takes their goggles, puts them down. We're looking back and forth. Is it something we don't know? Something we didn't know. Let me tell you, we got covered in dirt in our face, everything else, in our teeth because we were smiling so big. This is neat. We not take goggles with us when we go to those races. They're fun. Yeah, hers are pink. But we have an excellent time being able to get there and just get dirty for Jesus. One of our chaplains covers the sprint car races, is still kind of new. But he says, well, we really don't have time on these particular events to do a chapel service. And so that's all right. You know, you hang out with the guys at the track. You know, you talk with them on a one-on-one basis, and he does an excellent job at that. But we found a time that we could do a chapel service. And we set up an A board. It's just a board that says, chapel service here, Sunday morning, 8 o'clock. And I just put that board out there, and we had people show up. I don't remember how people, I'm about 8 people. 8 people showed up just on a whim. 8 people showed up. And we ended up spending 2 hours there. 2 hours talking to them. I planned a 30-minute sermon. My sermons are short, really short. So I planned a 30-minute deal. But we ended up sitting there talking, and it was great to be able to share with people. We just sat and talked after that. And it was awesome to be able to do that. And that's what we're there for. You know, to be there, to be a light at the racetrack. To be able to talk with people. To help them out. People have problems, even at the racetrack. You know, there's all kinds of things that go on. But we're there all the time for that. And we're looking for more volunteers to share in that joy. And to be able to do that. There's, like I said, there's all kinds of information back there. Please feel free to help yourself. There's also a letter with what we do and explaining what we've done this last year in going full time. So be sure to grab one of those. Let's open with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that you give us this opportunity to be able to do this. That you give us the opportunity to share your word wherever it may be. And we don't need a title. We don't need a title of chaplain. We don't need a title of pastor to do that. We can do that at our schools. We can do that at work. We can do that at any kind of event that we want to be. All we got to do is be able to share the love that you have, the love that you give us to share with somebody else. You tell us in our heart when there's somebody that needs you. And you tell us to come alongside them and stand there with them and share your love. Somebody we may not even know. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you. We ask that you continue to keep on guiding us. We thank that you ask us to be there. Lord, I ask that you bless this message, that you're the one who leads it today, and that you show us what you want us to do with our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this morning, He Said What to Do was a title that trying to come up with, you know, catchy little phrases on what we're supposed to be doing. And in Matthew chapter 28, I always try to give my wife a little extra time with her e-reader, you know, to she's already there. See, she had a heads up. But those of you with e-readers, chapter 28, which we're going to start with verse 16 and go to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in the heaven and on the earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the ages." He's telling us to go. The Great Commission. Telling us to go out and be able to preach the word that he's given us. Being able to share the love that he has given us, that we feel, that we know, that we understand. You know that little voice in your head, you know, that's telling you, "I should be doing something more. I should be doing something more. I should speak to that person. I should talk to that person." You know, and that's what he's told us to do. He told the disciples then and there that the authority's been given to him, and he wants us to go out and baptize. We've been able to do a couple of baptisms, not at the races as of yet. I'm still waiting for that. But we've been able to do baptisms here at Elk Plain with Skate Church. We just closed out our 17th year of Skate Church here at Elk Plain. 17 years of doing that. And it's been so much fun. Monday nights, Tuesday nights. Okay, you hurry home from work, grab a quick bite. Sometimes we run to Burger King. We'll eat when we get here. And then we'll sit there with the kids in the cold, freezing gym during the winter time. But the kids want it cold. They're all sweating because, you know, they're going back and forth. But we're freezing. Why am I doing this? And just last Monday, we had our barbecue. Whew. The last Skate Church for the year. We closed out our 17th year. That's awesome. No more Skate Church for the summer. Now we can relax. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, we're going, we should be over at Skate Church. We should be there. I miss the boys. Oh, you know, why can't we do this the whole summer? You know, it's just, even when they come back, they're going to be taller. They're going to be different. Their voices change. That's always funny. But you know what? We look forward to the end of the season, and then immediately it's like, we miss them. Those boys are awesome. They're so much fun. That's why I was hoping we could plug into your laptop. I got a picture. I put it on my Facebook, you know, that with had a picture of all the boys together. We had a little competition. And it was fun. And we're already missing them the next day. Sad, sad people that we are. It's always, but isn't that the way we are? We're looking towards, you know, we're tired, we're worn out, we want to stop. That's like the end of the race season. You know, our race season will go until October, and we're going, oh man, I'm so tired, I'm ready to stop. And okay, hey, the last race. One weekend later, you're going, there's no races. What are we going to do now? Because you want to get back out there. Because you want to see all your friends, the people that lives that you touched, and be everything else. One of the things on the other message I was going to do, Janelle, I made myself a little note here because it hit me last night. The act of being a father is not determined by having children. You know, on the skate church deal, you know, we have had, now our computer that we are keeping track of all this died 5 years ago. And at 5 years ago, we had over 3,000 names of different kids that have come through the door. That was over 5 years ago, all these different kids. Two of them over all those years, I think, have come from out of this church. Yeah, maybe two, maybe three. Not very many from this church. These are from other places. A lot of them, especially in the beginning, a lot of them are street kids. Many of them are being raised by a grandma, a sister. We had a couple kids that lived that were living out of their cars. You know, they're teenagers and they're just living in a car because for some reason or other they're estranged from their families. But you know what? I felt like a father to them. You know, because when they come in, some of these kids, you know, have chips on their shoulders. You know, we're able to say, hey, you're in a new place. You can just get rid of that chip right now and have fun. That's all we're here for, is to have fun and to hear the word. We'll skate for an hour. We'll have a message. And then we'll skate for another hour. And I expect you to sit there and behave yourself. Like a father would tell them, I expect you to sit there and behave yourself. And surprisingly, you watch these kids change over the years. And we had just this last couple of weeks ago, one of the kids, we're going off to the races. Kids going, hey, I'm going to get baptized at my church this weekend. It's like, oh, praise God. We're so thank you for that. It's like, oh, man, but we're going to miss it because we're going to be gone at a race. His brother took a video of it on his cell phone and he showed us. Try to keep them crying. You know, it's like when your own kids get baptized. But he showed us this video of his brother being baptized. And it was like so cool. And his brother goes, you took a video of that? He goes, yeah. A brother? Loving another brother? No, you know, boys fight, you know. That's what they do. No. Yeah, girls too. Yeah, we know how that goes. But they... they change, and we watch them change throughout the year. We've had a school teacher come in one year, towards the end of the year, and she came in, she goes, I just wanted to see what you guys do. Okay. All right, she goes, because at the beginning of the year, this kid had such a chip on his shoulder. And we've watched him change. And he's telling us that, oh yeah, he goes to church now, he goes to skate church. That's his church. They don't go to a church. This is their church, skate church. And she goes, it's made such a difference. And you see that and you kind of go, wow. It's such a love. Because we were sent out to go do that. And what we see at the races is very similar to the same thing. You know, this last year being the first year that we can actually go for a longer time frame to the races. Most of the times we hurry on in on Friday morning after working Thursday, get in the truck, drive all night long, get to the races, and then get there Friday morning, do our thing, and then Sunday night the races are over, we hurry on home to be to work Monday morning. Now we show up Thursday morning, And there are people there that are in a little bit more relaxed atmosphere because they're not in competition. They're doing tests and tunes. We're able to sit down and talk with them and just, you know, fellowship with them more. This year we have seen such a total transformation, you know, and openness to a lot of people that have been able to be there to, you know, say, hey, you know, I got to talk to somebody. You know, it's just amazing, you know, how many people, you know, just, I wouldn't think that one day would make a difference. One day. But it made a big difference to us so far this year. You know, people wanting to be able to share. People wanting to hear more what you have to say. People wanting to be able to come to your services because there's something else to hear. You know, what one day makes. And because that one day isn't under the competition and time constraints that you have at a racing event. I'm always telling Heath, you know, Elk Plain time. We start church at 10:45, Heath. Remember that, 10:45. This is when we start, not 10:50, okay? I'm always giving him grief about that. But, you know, that's what we have to do at the racetrack because on Sunday, Sunday's Eliminations Day. So Sunday, we have to start. We have a 7:30 and an 8:15 service. So we have two services every Sunday, 7:30 and 8:15. And I have to start at 7:30 because those guys have to go get their cars ready because they start eliminations at 9 o'clock in the morning. The 8:15 guys get to sleep in a little bit more. They don't start until maybe like 10 o'clock. So they can come in a little bit later. So we're doing our chapel services there at that time. And you know what? A pew. A padded pew. Enjoy these pews. You don't have to come into a bleacher that's metal and take your towel and dry it off because of the dew or the rain, whatever the case may be.
And then take them home and bleach them.
She has to do that. She has to take them home and bleach them because we use our towels to clean off the bleachers so that they have a dry spot to sit. And being able to have a roof over your head. Because most of the summer, I really, 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 really enjoy not having a roof. I really enjoy being able to have a church service outside because we can stop. We can hear the birds chirping. You hear the breeze blowing. And we know that God's in the air there. We know that that's His church. It's not a building. This is not the church. You are the church. You are the church, not the building. The building is not the church. And that's what we enjoy. We have a pretty good church at the races. You know, the people. When it's thundering and lightning and raining, then we find other places. We've been huddled underneath an awning alongside of a motorhome. We've been on a little picnic shed where the water's just flowing across on our feet, you know, but we're standing there dry. But it's been awesome to be able to do that. And we all have a good time. People still show up, rain or shine. Last year in Montana, we're having our chapel service, and I just finished the 7:30 service. When a clap of thunder, and I look around behind me, and there's this, you can, in Montana, it's flat. You can see it coming. And it's like, okay, folks, we need to go, amen. And as soon as I said amen, it just dumped on us. I'm grabbing our PA system and all my paperwork and running over to this awning. Take it over there. Turn my PA system upside down. Just dumped it out. All the water just come flowing out. It still worked, thankfully. But that's part of the excitement of it. And that's part of the challenge of it. You know, if it wasn't challenging, what would we be doing, right? In Acts chapter 1, 1 through 11... In my former book, Theophilus, and I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave them convicting proof that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you will have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore your kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness to Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and in the clouds hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking to the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we stand there and, "Jesus, when are you going to come back? When are you going to save us? When are you going to take us from this earth?" You don't know. You don't know, but between now and then, you have a job to do. You have a job to do. You are to still speak his word. You are still to promise redemption to others. You are still to be out there. You are still to give witness to what you've seen. We don't know when he's going to come back. How many are just looking forward to that day? You know, we're just standing there going, "I can't wait." But in the meantime, you can't sit down and say, "I can't wait. I'm waiting. Lord, is it time yet?" No, he's saying get out there and do something about it. Get out there and be with people. Get out there and spread my word. Get out there and tell the people about me. Because we don't know the date or the time. It can come just like that. We don't know. But between now and then, it's our job to be out there for him. To be out there spreading his word. Whether it's Nicaragua, whether it's Southern California, whether it's at the racetracks, whether it's to a bunch of kids who like to ride skateboards. It doesn't make any difference. The difference it makes is being out there spreading God's word. Being out there showing the love that he has for everyone. Everybody. There's a lot of people's lifestyles that I disagree with wholeheartedly. But I give them the same love. And it was really, really amazing to me that at one of our races, one of our racers is from, I want to say he's from Dubai. I believe he's from Dubai. And Khalid Al-Balush. And he's a national touring. He was driving Top Fuel at the time. And everybody assumed that he's Muslim or, you know, so assume. You know what they say about assume? Well, let's have the faith of a child. One of our chaplains come up and ask him, he goes, "Khalid, would you like a prayer before you run?" He was stunned there for a second. And trying to figure out the translation, is this working properly? Okay, sure. Khalid had a prayer with one of our chaplains. You know, I told our national chaplain, said, "Hey, he prayed with Khalid." He goes, "Really? Come here." He goes, "Was he accepted to that?" He goes, "Yeah. I thought that was great." He prays with them at every race now. At every race. Why would you assume? Why would you assume that somebody doesn't want a prayer? I get to meet with a lot of people, and usually all the funny car drivers and the dragster drivers, almost every one of them want a prayer. You know, you figure you're going to go from, you know, 0 to 300 miles an hour in 3 seconds. They want a prayer. I know of two guys that don't. Two. And that's okay. Once they're buckled in that car, I make eye contact with them, give them a little thump on the wheel, give them a thumbs up. And they expect that. They expect that every time. It's like, "Where were you? I didn't see if I missed them." "Well, I had to give the invocation. I didn't have anybody to cover the staging lanes for me. So I couldn't give you a prayer that time." He goes, "Well, I missed you, man. I'm sorry. You had to be there for the invocation. I'll run faster next time." But that's just it. You don't assume. You talk to somebody. You be respectful to them. You give God's word with respect. And they say, "Well, you know, that's okay for you. I'm not interested." That's great. That's okay. I love you anyways. I don't care where you stand. I'm still going to show you what God's love is all about. I'm not here to judge you whatsoever. It's not my point to judge. It's somebody else's point. That's his job. But I'm here to give you love. Join with me. You find out that it opens doors up. And people kind of want to know, "Why do you do this?" "Because I love you. I love you the same as a father loves a son. Sometimes I don't like what the kids do, but I still love them just the same." Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you know, sometimes we don't do what's right in our lives. And we know that, you know, sometimes we know that you might be displeased with us, what we've done. But we know that you still love us nonetheless. You still love us. You still pick us up. You dust us off. You tell us that, "Well, here's what you need to be doing. And it's up to us to keep following you. It's up to us to listen. It's up to us to make a change. It is up to us. You tell us it's totally our decision. But Lord, you love us just the same, no matter what. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you love us just the way we are. Lord, help us to love one another just the way they are. And to be able to keep on showing your light, keep on spreading your word throughout this world. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your guidance. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.